Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KSM. We're at 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading of 68 degrees here in central Minnesota. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Tom Willard. Tom, how are you doing?
Well, I'm just finer than frogs here.
Well, there we go. That sounds great, Tom. And you are at home today?
You betcha.
Sounds good. And you make home, for the listeners that don't know, where are you at these days?
Buffalo Center, Iowa. We're about an hour straight south of Mankato.
Okay, wonderful. Been there for a few years, huh?
Yeah.
And grew up here in central Minnesota. Yeah, that's where it all kind of got started, huh?
You bet. Yeah, we... Well, I was born and raised around St. Cloud, but I think we're going to be talking about Pioneer Days today, and I've been doing a whole bunch of trying to reminisce about that.
Well, good.
Since you called, and I think it was in 92 the first time that I went to Pioneer Days, and that's a long time ago.
That is, yes.
Can't remember everything as good as I'd like. But.
Well, they had a place out there called the Red Shed, and boy, if that place could talk. I mean, they relocated the building across the road now, and so the building is still there, but they've got the new feature building over along the east fence there where they do all the bluegrass music and so on. But boy, you guys really had some wild shindigs in that Red Shed back in the days, huh?
There's so many memories there and so many wonderful people. And, you know, the worst thing about getting old is the fact that you lose so many wonderful friends along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, if I was just thinking back, you know, how many. I mean, there was, during late winter, early spring, there was three of our music family in just a short time that went. So,
yeah, yeah. Well, what lured you out there, Tom? I mean, 92, you're saying you'd never been there before. Pioneer Days goes back longer than that, huh?
Well, I had been to Peter Nell's show. I think it was before it became Pioneer Days.
Oh, okay.
But that is many, many years ago. But the thing that took me out there in 92, I was living in the cities at that time, and a friend of mine was made sterling silver jewelry.
Okay.
And he wanted to set a booth up there and see how it in the flea market. And so he went out there. So a week before, it was, I think, divine intervention, because Irv Skaya had asked if I'd come up and play for an anniversary party.
Okay.
And it so happened that Virgil Kulzer was there, and I found out that he was from, you know, hooked in with Pioneer Days.
Okay.
So I asked him, I says, what do they got for music out there? Well, they got the Oompa music and all of that. I says, well, do you suppose there'd be any chance of some old country and that kind of stuff? And well, we've got a building there that's empty. All they have is the fiddle contest in there, and then that sits empty.
Uh-huh.
I says, well, that sounds like a winner. So we went the next week then and set my pop-up out in the flea market area, and Walt sold his jewelry out of there. And then in the evening we went in and we started the jam.
Okay.
A little bit, just the three of us, Dewey and Walt and I.
Uh-huh.
And, well, we were playing in there for probably half an hour or so, and pretty soon there was two couples came in. And they sat there, and they listened for maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and they got up and left. Well, I thought maybe this isn't going to go very good. Well, in about 10 minutes, they come back with about 5-6 more couples.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how the Red Shed got started.
Okay.
And then they asked, well, are you going to be here tomorrow? And, oh, yeah. Saturday night, you're going to be here next year? I said, well, probably. And so that's where it took off. But
yeah, it just kept growing.
Yeah, but that was back when the seating in there was cement blocks with rough sawn planks on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've got a story about that, too.
Oh, go ahead.
We were playing kind of a jumping little number there on stage, and Jerry Lebarski was taking a video. And he was sitting on one of those planks, you know, and there was a couple, three, four gals out there, and they were bouncing up and down on the planks.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? Eventually the plank broke, and it was so fun to watch the video because everything was going fine, and then it started to jump up and down a little bit, and the next thing you saw was a picture of the rafters. I mean, but there's so many of those memories. Virgil, I remember one time Virgil was sneaking away in the afternoon there. He'd sneak into his pop-up camper to take a little snooze, you know. Well, I didn't think that was very fair.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure who it was, but I probably know him. Went and put a prop against the door so he couldn't get out.
Oh, yes.
When he woke up, he tried to get out, and he started cussing out Tom right away. He had to call for help to get out. You know,
my goodness.
People walking by, and he asked them if they'd open the door.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, before we got into this, Tom, I should have forewarned you. We may have a listener or two this morning, you know.
We may?
Yeah, we may have a listener or two on our conversation here. I went to church last night, 5 o'clock Mass, and this gal sometimes ushers, and Joanne is her name, and she said, is Tom going to be your guest this week on the Musicians Come and Play? And I said, yeah, he is, tomorrow. She said, well, he's my cousin. And so that would be Joanne Bechtel and Joe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your moms were sisters or something like that?
My mom and her mom, yeah.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were sisters, yeah.
Willard
but,
ladies.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was just up there a couple weeks ago and stopped and visited with Joanne and Joe.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, probably an hour or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then these Eichmeyers, a bunch of good people there. So they were in church last night, and Vi wasn't there. She was at her own church, but Dale, and so they were all going to have their radios tuned today. So you can give a shout-out to all of them because they're listening. So,
hi, Joanne and Joe, and hi, Eichmeyer family, Dale, and all of you and that are listening. Hi.
There you go. So then getting back to the Red Shed, well, this thing started to grow kind of a little dinosaur or something, huh? And all of a sudden you guys said, we should make some recordings, huh?
Well, yeah, we started that. I don't know when our first recording came out, probably 90. I think we started Sodagrass in 94.
Okay.
And we probably cut our first project, I'm thinking maybe 97.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure when it was.
Sure.
But we did three recordings.
Well, by this time, so you guys had gotten to know one another. You didn't really know each other before that, is the way I understand it. And
And me, and then we also belong to the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time Music Association.
Ah, okay.
So we'd go to their festivals, and well, when I found out how much fun it was there and how wonderful the audience was, you know, we just couldn't do anything wrong, it seemed like. And I convinced a whole lot of them people, come on out and have some fun. I says, well, And there's many, many people that did. Over that 20-year span that I was kind of heading it up there, there was a lot of people. One year, Evelyn Carlson said she counted 79 people went across the stage.
Really? Wow. That's a lot of people to set in. Yeah.
And there was some folks that thought, well, we should have sign-ups and organize and all of that. And I said, no, I don't want to organize that. I said, I want to keep it spontaneous because you never know who's going to show up and what song is. Somebody will start a song and, oh, I want a piece of that. You know, I want to get up and help with that or whatever. Yep. And they'd come on. And so there was always the spontaneity of it. And,
yep.
And that, I think that was part of the
success, probably.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
That made the Red Shed as successful as it was. But there are so many families that came across the stage there too. I mean, the Volk family, they won the first year. I think that was shortly after they quit having their show. They came in there and they just did a really neat job, and they've been doing that pretty much all ever since. You know,
okay.
They come in on a Saturday night, they'll come in there and they do about an hour set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so it's so tastefully done, you know. And I'm sure that part of that is, I would assume, that they played music at their show.
Sure.
At one time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And after that closed out, well, it was you know, this was a way to get that talent out there, they were so good.
You bet.
I just really, really liked those folks a whole bunch.
So was Soda Grass kind of the anchor of the Red Shed for a number of years then? I mean, did you guys put on an actual performance then, or was that spontaneous too?
I didn't really want to start doing that, but then in the later 90s, we started to play for the ecumenical church service on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, we dressed for that, so as long as we were dressed, the bunch of the folks says, well, you guys come back and do a set here in the Red Shed. So
okay.
We would come back after church, as long as we were all dressed up, you know, and,
sure.
And our fancy duds, and we'd put on an hour show or so in there. And, you know, it was pretty much the music that we had always done. And but there was always maybe a skit or two thrown in once in a while. I can remember Larry and I used to do one a little thing called the Stutter and Farmer and the Bull.
Oh yeah,
a constipated bull.
Uh-huh.
And that went over good. It brought a lot of laughs and a lot of laughs and giggles in the
sure
there.
Sure.
But getting back to the families and all of that, there was two or three Mergen girls and their dad that came in and played.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe one of them used to work at Chasm. I'm not sure.
One recently did, Angela, but she's only just first year college, so she probably wasn't born back in 92 there, I don't think.
Well, no. This would have been, I don't know, when did the Red Shed go down?
That's got to be about 6-8 years ago for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
Might have been one of her older either siblings or aunts or something like
but,
that. Yeah.
Then there was the Walters family that came in, and they'd do a set, you know, sometime over the weekend, and then the Oldikowski family from there up by Sobieski.
Yeah.
And they just, I mean, when they. I can remember when they first started, all nervous and you know, just they just wanted to do this, but they were kind of like they were nervous and scared, and I just kind of encouraged them, and it just was such a thrill for me to see them grow up and to see the confidence that they gained over the years, you know, and their stage presence was just so different to the later years.
You bet.
And I think the last time I was there, I think was in 2021, and I saw Natalie. She was out there, and she was still going on, but I think she goes on with some other people there, and I think maybe she was even performing with one of the Walters girls.
Okay.
But it's just a thrill for me to see that there's young people that are carrying on because it's obvious that a lot of old-timers aren't around to do it anymore. They're dying off.
That is true. Well, Tom, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment, we'll let you gather your thoughts and read the ad here for the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you and continue the conversation, if that's all right.
That sounds wonderful.
All righty. So greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausage. Bull hunting and the small game hunting seasons open up this coming weekend, which means it's a great time to bring in those trimmings that are still in your freezer. We can turn your clean and boneless fresh and frozen domestic or wild game trimmings into any number of delicious jerky, snack sticks, and or sausage items, usually complete and ready for pickup for your freezer within a week's time. With all the tomatoes now ripening this time of the year, it's BLT time. Have you had a chance to try some bacon from the St. Joe Meat Market lately? It is really good. And now there are many flavors to choose from. Besides our regular smoked bacon, there are packages of flavored bacon, sliced and vacuum packaged, all ready to grab and go. There is extra maple, raspberry chipotle, peppered, jalapeno, applewood and cherrywood, cottage bacon and turkey bacon, also now ground bacon as well. You'll want to try them all. Many other in-store specials always await you when you come to the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, and they thank you for your patronage. Tom, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, we're going to get you a nice package put up, send that off priority mail to you. Hope that you and Ellie and those around you enjoy it in good health. How has that worked out for you?
Well, I want to thank you ever so much for that, because we certainly enjoy them. And that little insulated bag that comes in, we use those religiously around here. I mean, when we go to the store or whatever, we've got those insulated bags in the car. We can use them over and over and over.
Well, very good. Tom, we appreciate you taking time out here. This is really great. So over the years, kind of the foresight of the Pioneer Club was always to kind of separate the music. And there's always some crossover between music from country to polka, from country to rock or whatever. But has it always been the vision of the club to try to keep the polka music over in the saloon and the gospel and the country and bluegrass in the Red Shed and now the feature building? Or have you been in on some of those meetings, or how has that gone?
Well, when the Red Shed took off, you know, we just kind of kept that acoustic in there as much as we could. We did have some electric bass or something, but basically, it was all acoustic music, because when you start trying to get in there and fight against a too loud electric guitar or something, you know, it doesn't work. And so we kind of kept that all acoustic in the Red Shed. And then Then when they moved the flea market up on the hill there and they had that building up there, well, there's another building that was screaming for some music.
Oh, yes.
And there was several of us. There's probably, four or five guys that got together and and what they were wondering what we should do. And I thought, well, you know, that there was so many of those that played in the Red Shed that also played electric. And I said, why don't we make that building up at the flea market area, why don't we make that kind of a classic country electric?
Uh-huh.
And boy, I mean, you should have seen their eyes light up when I suggested that, because that gave them a chance. I know their Sylvester Warner plays pedal steel.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't really room for that in the Red Shed, because that was, again, that's electric. So.
Right.
So that gave him a chance to do that. Now, he does play dobro also, and it does a pretty nice job on that, I have to add. But the guys that took over that flea market building, they just took off and went with it. And it was just really, I think it was just a really good idea all the way around to split it up that way.
You bet. Well, as a vendor, I didn't know about that up on the hill there. I mean, I know about the outdoor flea market up there. And when you get nice weather like we're going to have this year, it's a great place to vend. But some years we've had some extremely hot weather, and we've had some stormy and rainy weather. And then you're out in the elements, so then it's not such a desirable place to be. But, boy, the nice weather we're going to have this week, there should be some really good entertainment up there on the hill then, too, huh?
Yeah, they've got a pretty nice stage set up in that building, and they do a good job. Those folks, I don't know how many musicians show up for that, but one guy that I did see him in there once. But I didn't get up there a lot because I was kind of busy down at the other building.
Exactly. That's a big area.
Donnie Blonigan was in there. And, I mean, what an awesome musician.
Oh, yeah. We've had him on the show here recently. And, he's a great entertainer.
Yeah. I don't really know the guy personally, but I was very impressed with his style and
absolutely.
All of that. I want to cover another thing that I sort of overlooked when I was talking about the Oldakowski family.
Mm-hmm.
They started doing someplace in their set, they would do at least one or two numbers that Betty Ullman used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And Betty was a very, very dear friend, and Dewey and Larry and I backed her on her recordings. She had two recordings out, too.
Yeah,
we backed her on them. And it just made my heart almost burst when I would hear them do one of Betty's numbers, because they really liked Betty a lot. And she liked them. I mean, she encouraged them too. I mean, it was a kind of a mutual thing, but it's just heartwarming to see something like that, you know?
You bet. Any idea who's working or running, setting up the music these days, and who's, I know they must have a committee, the Pioneer Club. I mean, you're a life member. I'm a life member. But there are chairs, people that take charge of it. Did you pass it on to somebody, or did the club vote somebody else in, or how did that go?
Well, I don't know. When I quit, Donnie Egan and he plays in a group called Barbed Wire.
Uh-huh.
And Donnie Pete and Ronnie Walker and anyway they kind of took it over, and I thought, because it's seemed like after 20 years that our stuff was kind of getting wore out. You know, the attendance seemed to be starting to sag a little, and I thought, well, they play a little zippier kind of stuff, and I thought maybe that's what it's going to take. Uh-huh. Well, they tried it for 5 years, and they just said, no, it's too much work for nothing. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's all volunteer, so they. Then there's a gal from the Bluegrass Association that took it over, and I don't know if she's still doing that or not.
Okay.
Chris Anderson.
Uh-huh.
But
we'll find out this week when we get out there. Yeah.
Anymore, but when she took over, that's when they started with the sign up and all of that, and
sure.
It's okay. There's pros for that, but there's cons also. You know, it takes
exactly.
away from the spontaneity.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's just, but everybody has a little different opinion, different approach to something. And
yep.
I don't know. The last I heard that the bluegrass stuff is really going downhill,
mm-hmm.
and in that new feature building, you know, that's kind of right on the parade route.
Yeah, yeah.
And it isn't only during the parade, you know, it's all the time that all of these old
tractors
are going by there and kicking up a dust.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just not, it's not an ideal location or ideal situation to have, you know, because you're trying to compete with that, and
sure,
and I don't know. I think that what has really happened is that a lot of the people that liked the kind of entertainment that we provided have passed on, and the newer generation, we just have to try and they're going to have to try and find what. The newer, the younger generation, what do they want in entertainment, you know?
Exactly. And that's really the purpose of this show. I wanted to reminisce about some of the, you know, you just can't recreate those days. They just happened, didn't they? I mean, it just happened. And they were so good while they lasted. And it's kind of like life. It doesn't last forever. Like you said, we lose some people, and golly, it's just not the same when this one or that one isn't there. And I was going to have you mention the guys of Soda Grass and who's all left.
Just Randy and I are the only two that's left.
Now. Okay. You're Tom Willard and Randy, what's Randy's last name?
Randy Gregg.
And his position, or he played what?
Banjo.
Okay. And who are the ones that are missing?
Well, Steve McCann was a guitar player,
mm-hmm.
and Dave Savard was also a guitar player. He was one of the originals with Soda Grass.
Okay.
Larry Selden.
Oh, yes.
Was a dobro player, and he built dobros.
Ah.
And then Dwayne Bodie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they've all passed now.
So. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, and like anything, it's fun to live on the memories. And, you know, like you said, there's pros and cons. They've built a new wood shop, and they built us a new craft and hobby building and moved us a little bit. And so you lost a little bit of that, elbow to elbow. Like, we were right next to the Red Shed back in the days when we first started going out there, and we could hear you guys playing over there all the time. And it was so entertaining. Well, you got growing pains where you have to plan and expand things. And so they did do that. And so I always hear people say, oh, it was so nice. They had ice cream cones right here. You could walk out of this building and you could hear the bluegrass music while you're having an ice cream cone. Well, the thing was a little bit smaller back then than what it's grown into too now. So in their wisdom and their vision, the Pioneer Club has expanded it. They had their year of construction out there. And so it's gone through some changes from, say, what you're talking about in 1992 or so to where we are in 2023. A lot has changed.
Yeah. I can remember back that during the high point of the Red Shed, you know, when that when that show started to take off in there,
mm-hmm.
the club took the east side of the Red Shed. They opened that all up and put double track doors on.
Oh, yes. So
all overlap, so that pretty much the whole side of the building then would open up.
Yeah.
And there was about 2 or 3 years that we had, the building was full. There was about 7 rows of chairs between the building and that roadway.
Yeah.
And then up on the hill, there was like 3 or 4 rows of golf carts and gators and stuff up on the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Across the road, that road.
And I remember that. And it was like, you know, and the one thing that, I mean, and it's part of life again, too, but we get out there at before 7 o'clock in the morning to work in the building, and then we sell our music and so on, the crafts, all of the people are in there till about 5:30, and then they close that building up. And most of us that have been working, you know, 10 to 12 hours, we're pretty much done. And yet you hear that music and it's like, oh my gosh, it would be so much fun to stay here. And that music would sometimes go on till midnight or whatever. Somewhere in there, you have to get a little bit of sleep because the human body says you got to rest a little bit. So,
yeah.
So yeah.
And the older you get, the more rest you need.
So true. Oh, it's been fun reminiscing about those good old days, and not to play it down. It still should be an exciting time again out there. Things have changed through the years, but the club has really done a good job of improving things, and they really cater to a big crowd now these days. So.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
You
so
bet. That is a wonderful show. I mean,
yep.
It used to be a real compact show. I mean, you could easily walk any place down there.
Yeah.
And then when they got that more property, then I'll tell you, now a golf cart is a pretty handy gadget to have.
Yep, or they use the people movers out there, and you just...
The people movers all over.
You climb on one of those, and they'll take you all the way up to the hill, and they'll take you back down again. So, yeah, it's a pretty neat deal. Well, Tom, go ahead.
Can I share one more
story? You sure can, you bet.
I can remember... I probably shouldn't mention her name, but there was a gal from a competing radio station that used to come out there, and she emceed the fiddle contest.
Oh, okay.
And, well, I got her, had her up there on stage one time, you know, and she was going to play and sing a song. She played an auto harp, mm-hmm. and she was going to sing a song. Well, while I was keeping her distracted and introducing her to the audience and blah, 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 you know,
sure.
basically killing time,
yep.
Virgil he had 2 buckets of big old tomatoes. And he went across the front row right down in front of the stage. He went across there and he told everybody, take a tomato, keep it out of sight, and wait till Tom gives you the nod. So Kim got in the middle of her song, you know, she's just singing her heart out, and pretty soon she looked down, and all of these people are, I had given them the nod, you know, and all of these people are fondling these tomatoes and looking up there and just, you know, kind of.
Ready to throw.
Seen her eyes. They were like dinner plates.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic story.
Those are the things that made the Red Shed what it was, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. So many great memories there. And I was going to ask you, you know, we usually reserve this last minute for a good story, and boy, that fills the bill right there. That's awesome. So
I think so, too.
You bet.
If Jim happens to hear this, hi.
Yeah.
Virgil still keeps in touch with her, and I told Virgil, he called me a couple of last week.
Okay.
And I told him, I says, well, you make sure and greet Kim for me.
Well, there you go. Well, Tom, our time has run out. We want to save a little time here to play a couple tunes by Sodagrass and, you know, just... continue the reminiscing of those great old years there out at the Pioneer Grounds that we've all had a taste of. And a lot of our listeners listening in, I know, are, you know, probably nodding their heads and saying, yeah, we were part of that too. So pretty neat. Oh.
I'm gonna tell you a story. I'm gonna tell you about my dad.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was me. Somebody. I was thinking it was Tom. You were playing some background music for me, but here it's one of our sports booster things that kicked in here. So at any rate, with that, we're going to let you run, Tom. Want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and the good Lord willing, like I've told you in the past, you and I are here. We'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
That sounds like a winner to me.
All righty. So with that, we encourage everybody to come out to the Pioneer Days this week and make part of history as it continues to change. You bet.
You bet.
Well, you have a great day, Tom. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. And I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. All righty. There he goes, Mr. Okay. Tom Willard, our guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. 23 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We've got music coming up by Sodagrass in just moments. Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play. And Tom Willard, our guest today on our Musicians Come and Play program. And what a wonderful guest. Tom and I go back a long, long ways, played together a lot. But Tom, he took care of that red shed out there at the Pioneer Grounds for some 20 plus years and did a great job of it. And sharing a lot of memories there, some great times that we've all experienced together out there on the Pioneer Grounds. Well, they had the band called Sodagrass, and they did a couple of recordings. This one is called By Request, this recording, and we'll have those available out on the Pioneer Grounds. And this one that they did, kind of a novelty-type tune, one called Mama's Soup Surprise, Sodagrass.
As a little kid, I never liked to eat. Mama put things on my plate that looked like mystery meat. Then one day she made this soup, and it was really neat. I asked her what was in it that made it such a treat.
Oh, chicken lips and lizard hips and alligator eyes, monkey legs and buzzard eggs and salamander thighs, rabbit ears and camel rears and wings from butterflies.
Put them all together and it's Mama's soup surprise.
One day when I stayed home from school cause I was feeling ill, I went into the bathroom to get myself a pill. Mom said that medicine won't work, but here's some stuff that will. She said I made a pot of it so you can have your fill.
Chicken lips and lizard hips and alligator eyes, monkey legs and buzzard eggs and salamander thighs, rabbit ears and camel rears and wings from butterflies. Put them all together and it's Mama's soup surprise.
Oh, it's about the neatest soup that you will ever find. You can ask my mom for some, I'm sure she would not mind. She'll even give you seconds if you are so inclined. When you've had a taste of it, you'll want no other kind.
Oh, chicken lips and lizard hips and alligator eyes, monkey legs and buzzard eggs and salamander thighs, rabbit ears and camel rears and wings from butterflies. Put them all together and it's Mama's soup surprise. Put them all together and it's Mama's soup surprise.
Sodagrass with one called Mama Soup Surprise. Yes, one of the groups that was a mainstay at the Pioneer Days over the years for, well, a good number of years. And Tom Willard, of course, part of that. So that takes us to the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on Chasm. And that is brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texted me some information and she wants me to talk about the upcoming holiday tours that are still available. And now that it feels like fall, it's time to decide if a festive, fun-filled tour like a Branson Christmas might be in your holiday plans. November 10th through the 16th, there are still 12 seats available for you and your friends. If you call Jeannie B's right away, 320-345-1581, to hop on this awesome tour. Call for tour details about included shows, meals, and cost. Jeannie B's Christmas in Nashville departs November 25th, returning on November 30th. This tour includes 6 nights lodging with 3 nights at the beautifully decorated Opryland Hotel. All of the Nashville must-sees are included. Don't wait. Call Jeannie B's Tours now, 320-345-1581, to reserve your seats on one of these memorable holiday tours. One-day holiday fun days are available, and the Lights of Bentleyville Duluth 2-Day Christmas Getaway has seats awaiting for you. Decide today and call Jeannie B tomorrow. Remember, seeing is believing. Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, as they proudly bring us our first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. We're coming up on 12:30 here on KASM, 70 degrees here in central Minnesota. More music on the way. Here's one called Four Wet Pigs, Four Wet Pigs by Sodagrass.
Song about four wet pigs. Here's a little song about four wet pigs. Two of them little and two of them big. That's down at a big town jig.
Do 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 do.
Two that were little were just half grown. The two that were big were big as a barn. Big as a barn, tall as a tree. Take them on down to the factory.
Do 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 do.
Slice them into bacon, cut them into ham, roll them into hot dogs, squeeze them in spam, throw their little eyes out in the rain, pickle their feet and scramble their brain.
Do 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 do.
Here's a little song about two wet pigs leaning on the slop trough, smoking their cigs, hoping to God that they never get big. That's down at the big town jig. Yeah, they're hoping to God that they never get big. That's down at the big town jig.
Do 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 do.
And that That is Sodagrass with One Call, Four Wet Pigs. Great music by Sodagrass. Coming off of their CD, By Request. And they also do have a gospel one as well. And we'll probably try to get one selection in there too as well. Right now we need to tell you about Kevin's Countryside and home of the Hustler brand Zero Turn Lawnmowers, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. The Hustler is the original Zero Turn Lawnmower and helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin still has a nice inventory of brand new Hustlers on hand. And, of course, Kevin does repair work on all makes and models. He can change your lubricants, belts, and hoses, sharpen your blades. Kevin also accepts trades. He'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. And for more information, give Kevin a call, 320-363-7459. Now, Kevin also carries the Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment. So he has handheld blowers and backpack blowers, chainsaws and pole saws, self-propelled lawnmowers, and more, all powered by that 56-volt lithium battery. Again, call Kevin at 320-363-7459. Kevin's Countryside, yes, he brings us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. And I forgot to... Just escaped me that today is Grandparents' Day, so we want to wish all the grandparents out there a special day today. And, probably dedicate a song here real quick to them. And so let's do one here by Sodagrass. It's one called My God Made It All.
Summer's gone and winter's a-calling. Trees are brown and snowflakes are falling. There's talk all around that God is dead. But I see God everywhere. I see God everywhere. Who made the grass that grows so small? Who makes the trees that grow so tall? Who makes the air we love to breathe? My God, gone and winter's a-calling. Trees are brown and snowflakes a-falling. There's talk all around that God is dead. But I see God everywhere. I see God everywhere. Tears in a baby's eyes. Who makes the gray in a daddy's head? Who makes the birds that fly so high? My God, my summer's gone and winter's a-calling. Trees are brown and snowflakes a-falling. There's talk all around that God is dead. But I see God everywhere. I see God.
Sodagrass with one called My God Made It All. 23 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And we're going to feature Tom on the vocal on this one from Sodagrass, one called Chattanooga Shookshine Boy. And that's an old Red Foley number.
He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. He's a Chattanooga Shookshine Boy. He charges you a nickel for to shine on shoe. Makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. Kind of makes you want to dance and he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. He's a Chattanooga Shookshine Boy. Well, it's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. And you ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity hippity hippity hoppity hoppity hippity hop. He opens up his business when the clock strikes nine. Likes to get him early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine from this great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. He's a Chattanooga Shookshine Boy. Hippity hippity hoppity hoppity hippity hop. He opens up his business when the clock strikes nine. Likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine from this great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. He's a Chattanooga Shookshine Boy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. He's a Chattanooga Shookshine Boy.
Sodagrass with one called the Chattanooga Shookshine Boy, and that featured Tom Willard on the vocal, and Tom doing the mandolin work there. So, yeah, great music there by Sodagrass, and lots of folks calling in, enjoying the program today, and looking forward to the Pioneer Days, so you bet. 21 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.